at center and coming in as Lube. Milicic centered it.
Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flame.
Eckers, put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, we are underway this hour on Flames Talk. It is Thursday, April 3rd. Welcome to the Scotiabank Saddledome. Welcome to the Hot Stove Lounge, and welcome to the Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Did you know that barrier-free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit Calgary Lock and Safe. com. My name is Pat Steinberg with Aaron Vickers of NHL.com. Hello, Vix.
Oh, hey, buddy. How you doing?
I am well. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The text line's open for you at 960-960. Friends back at the studio, I don't think Kevin can hear us right now. He said that he heard the ding and it went silent, so you might have to route the board so Kevin can hear us again. Should be good now. Okay. Kevin Woodley joins us now. It is our weekly chat with our goaltending expert, Kevin Woodley of In Goal Magazine and NHL.com in Vancouver. Mr. Woodley, happy Thursday. How are you, sir?
I'm on the 16th hole. It's sunny. And I feel like this sharing that with the people of Calgary right now is a little bit of revenge for coming to your fair city and you guys dumping snow on me over the
Yeah. Week. Yeah, you got here, and immediately it snowed, so I'm glad that you could get yourself on the course. We're supposed to be nice here by early next week. I think we're 16-degree high on Monday, so it's coming here as well. So I'm glad it's your first round of the year. I'm glad you could get out.
I'm glad to be out. Let's just say it's been a little sideways at times, but it's always nice to be on a golf course as we turn to April, and the way things are going with the local hockey club, I'll have a lot more time to be on it soon.
Yeah. That's a good segue as well. We'll get to them shortly. You know, Vix and I on Tuesday had a big conversation about Dan Vladar and his future with the team, and he's seemingly really turned his season around, at least in the record department. He's 5-1-1 in his last seven starts. The raw numbers for Vladar, save percentage, stuff like that, has been strong since the beginning of February. And you know, and there's been a renewed push in this market of at least the conversation about, you know, should they re-sign Dan Vladar for another year or two if Dan wants to stay? And we've asked about this before, but you know, now as we're into the final strokes of the season, and we'll talk about Dustin Wolf as well, what are the merits of re-signing Dan Vladar and bringing him back for another couple years in your mind?
Well, two things. One, you know what you have. There's a veteran presence there. I think we've talked about this in the past, especially with Wolf as a rookie. And still just be a really young goaltender in his second season. Like, veteran presence matters. I've talked to goalie coaches around the league over the years about the importance of having, you know, and a lot of guys will tell you, the importance of having a guy who's been a number one to sort of show a young guy how to do it at the NHL level. And obviously Dan doesn't check that box. But clearly the relationship, the way they play off each other, the way they work in practice hasn't been a detriment to either one. Vladar's numbers, as you said, you know, I've got them since the Four Nations break, 17th in the NHL at close to plus 1%. He has more than held up his end of the bargain. And I guess the only question becomes, you know, where do they feel they're at with Cooley, a guy who will have to clear waivers next year, and how important is keeping him, given some of the ups and downs of his season, you know, since the head injury? Do they feel like they need a more established NHL presence? And if so, then Vladar is a guy you know, right? Like, I mean, from an upgrade perspective amongst the UFA class, it's a pretty short list. You know, like, do you go for more experience, a Stanley Cup win, been a number one before, a guy like Jake Allen? Short of that, I think I would hear an argument for bringing Dan Vladar back into the Calgary Flames.
Now, Kev, you're smarter than I am. I'm man enough to admit that. I can go down that road. I want to ask you a question about Vladar and like what's happened in his game since the Four Nations and even the start prior to that. I know you got the numbers from the Four Nations. And I asked this specifically as it relates to the off-season hip surgery. Like, is there a connection there? Does it take X number of games or X number of minutes or X number of weeks, months to feel fully comfortable with your body after the surgery he had last off-season?
You know what? That's a really good question, but I don't honestly have the answer. And it's the one thing that I'll always say, right? Like, if I haven't, I'm not going to pull it out of my posterior.
Right.
I'm not going to blow smoke. Certainly some guys have needed like half a season to feel comfortable in a body that actually works. Other guys have talked about it being like a lube job for the hips and they feel good right away. I remember talking to you guys back in the summer about how good everything seemed to be going for him. But getting used to a body that actually performs the way it's supposed to after compensating for years, yeah, absolutely, that can take time. So I haven't really done the work, to be honest, in terms of really digging into the nitty-gritty of technically or tactically if anything's changed in the last couple of months. The role, as we've talked about, especially as Wolf got more starts through the middle of the season, gets harder when you're not playing very much. I think his role in particular, because it felt like the Flames, there were times where it felt like they were giving him the games where maybe they didn't feel like they had a chance to win. You know what I mean? Like a really tough starts against teams that were maybe more heavily favored. That's tough mentally. Like even adjusting to that's going to take a little bit of time. So, you know, we see it with Philip Grubauer right now. Like Grubauer, since the Four Nations, one of the hottest goalies in the NHL statistically. And talking to him the other day when Seattle came into town, like, his frustration was he just felt he lost it because he wasn't playing earlier in the season. Didn't expect to go in as a backup to Joey Decord. Didn't know they were signing him.
Right.
It was the media that alerted him when they asked him the question about Joey's contract was the first he heard of it. And that's a really tough adjustment for goalie to make. And so, you know, all of those things sort of add up for Dan Vladar maybe to, you know, maybe understandable that he wasn't running at his peak early on, but gained confidence and momentum as the season has progressed.
Are there adjustments that a goalie coaching staff can make in a goaltender like Dan Vladar who suddenly feels less pain and maybe his range of motion changes a little bit? Are there tweaks to his game that they could do post-surgery perhaps that they weren't able or comfortable to do while he was in pain?
Well, I mean, I would think just getting in and out of your post, things like that would be more comfortable. Your movement's going to be crisper and cleaner. I mean, and inherently, if you're feeling better about things that way, what you might do is start to be a little more aggressive, feel like, oh, hey, I can move better, I can play more aggressively. But I don't think that's how they sort of preach for their goaltenders to play in Calgary. So I'd be surprised, and maybe that's, again, that can be one of the adjustments. You feel good, so you feel like you can move a little more, you can be a little more aggressive. But in today's game, we've talked about that with Dustin Wolf as well, that's not necessarily a recipe for success.
Last one on Dan Vladar for you, Kev, before I ask you the question about Dustin Wolf, which it's really important, the question I'm going to ask you about Wolf. But can you, like, knowing what we've seen from Vladar and knowing that here he is, he's still in his 20s and probably wants to he wants to be able to fight for more playing time, and there's a decent argument to be made that he'll clearly be the understudy if he were to return to Calgary. Like, are there any spots that would fit or work or make sense or potentially present more opportunity for Vladar to play as an unrestricted free agent? Anything that comes to the top of your mind?
Wow. Man, like, every year it's a giant game of goaltending musical. And this is the first year in a while that we're not going to have that. So a lot of guys have re-signed. A lot of guys have resettled. I don't know that there's a ton of spots where there's teams that are going to look at Dan Vladar and be like, yeah, we're bringing you in to be the number one. I would argue that given how careful they've been with not overplaying Dustin Wolf, you know, even when he was on at sort of peak of his powers, the best he was playing, that you could make an argument that Calgary might even be a better spot. Like, you're going to get in Calgary, you know that they're not going to treat Wolf like a pure workhorse 60 game guy. There are only a handful of those anyway, right? So at least you know it's more of a 1B role with an opportunity to play more. I would say the number of teams that are going to present that to him, you know, you're It's not a high number. Like, it just really isn't. Like, with everybody re-signing, the musical chairs are going to be, like, seats will fill up fast. And so there may be value in, I know the city, I know the situation, yep. I know my routines, I know how long it takes to get to the rink to make sure I'm there to do my work. I know the goalie coach, I know my playing partner. Everything's here I'm comfortable with. Like, the grass, especially for a goalie, where systems changes, coaching changes, goalie coaching changes, can make such a difference, really isn't always greener on the other side.
Last thought on Flames goaltending, and that's about Dustin Wolf. And you know, I've seen it a lot on our text line, I don't think this is a large amount of fans, but a vocal group that has been very down on Dustin Wolf, and you know, feels like he's the reason why the Flames have fallen out of this playoff race. Or I see it on social media when, you know, Dustin Wolf starting again in this game Thursday night against Anaheim, for instance. People are like, how are they not going to Vladar? Vladar's been the better guy. You can't play Dustin Wolf. It just seems like in some circles the narrative is shifted on Dustin. Can you? We're 74 games into Calgary's season, and Dustin Wolf has made 46 appearances as an NHL rookie. Can you kind of give us a bigger picture view of Dustin's season? Because I think that's really important when talking about a guy in his rookie campaign.
Like, at the end of the day, right now, for the season, he is sixth in the National Hockey League in goals saved above expected. He is still ahead of a likely Vezina Trophy finalist in Andrei Vasilevskiy when you account for the shot quality he's faced. I'm sorry, boys. The wind's picking up here a little bit.
That's okay.
Even since, by the way, that sound you heard was probably the best drive I've hit all day while I was talking to you guys, so maybe we'll keep this up, make it a regular thing. Even since, and listen, how many times in the last couple of weeks have I said there may be some ups and downs as he goes through this for the first time? Like, we sort of repeated that. Like, it's not going to be perfect. At the end of the day, we said that Vladar is 17th since the Four Nations at plus 0.9%. Wolf is 14th, plus 1.1. So, yes, the results haven't been there, and yes, the games haven't all been as good as people would like, maybe as good as they were when he was playing at his best, but it's not like he has fallen off a cliff overall. The numbers are still very favorable, and for a kid going through this, we've talked about this before, he is going to be better for this experience moving forward into future years. Like, this is all positive for the Calgary Flames. I understand fans want wins on a nightly basis, mm-hmm. but for a kid to be doing what he's doing right now and still producing those numbers, even if they haven't been quite as good, you know, on a game-to-game basis, man, there's a lot to like about that for a kid that I still think right up there with Lane Hudson for the Calder Trophy.
Okay. See, I thought that was a really important answer, and I'm glad we asked you. We're chatting with Kevin Woodley. He is our goaltending expert from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. He joins us Thursdays on Flames Talk here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. You know, you kind of brought this up a little earlier and referenced it. You did a bit of a deep dive, hey, on who the best goalies have been since the Four Nations break, and some interest, like kind of an interesting theme that you found, hey.
Well, and this kind of actually applies a little bit to Wolf and the workload. And it's not like he's a, you know, again, like, I'm not pretending he's a 60-game guy or on that pace, but he's on a pace he's never played before. And we've talked before about how much tougher it is in the National Hockey League compared to the American Hockey League. When I look at the best goaltenders in the NHL since the Four Nations, it is unanimously a list of backups and guys who have not played nearly as much as their counterparts this season. It's Casey DeSmith. It's Freddie Anderson, who was injured for much of the year. It's Philip Grubauer, who's in the American Hockey League. We just talked about how much better he's been since he's come up and gotten to play on a regular basis again. It's Scott Wedgwood. It's Anton Forsberg. James Reimer. Like, you got to get down to number 10 on the list before you start to get into the regulars. Darcy Kemper, Andrei Vasilevskiy, Joel Hofer. And I hate to say this for Flames fans still hoping to catch the Minnesota Wild, Philip Gustafson. So, you know, some of the elite guys are still in there around the early teens, but the top 10 in the National Hockey League at this point in the season are all guys who haven't played very much. And I don't think at this point that that's a coincidence.
Yeah. That's interesting to me. I'm really. I was when you told me that. That was really interesting, and that's an interesting theme to watch out for here down the stretch. Okay. The Flames are about to play Anaheim on Thursday night, Kev, and they've got the Ducks once more on the schedule in their building before the season comes to an end. Now Anaheim's going to miss the playoffs, but they've been a real tough out for a lot of teams all season long, and a big reason for that has been their goaltending. It's going to be John Gibson here at the Dome Thursday night, but Lucas Dostal has been very strong as well. Give us a little bit of a deep dive on Anaheim's goaltending this year.
I mean, Dostal was so good at the beginning, and Gibson, you know, obviously missed some time, but was still really good. Both of them have been down since the Four Nations, like below expected. Both of them are sort of below a full percentage below expected since the Four Nations. And that's to be expected when you have a team that's fallen right out of it. Overall, Gibson's still in the positive numbers, 20th all season. Like, this is a bounce back for him. And it'll be really interesting to see if it's enough for them to move him in the summer. The biggest thing that sort of maintained for him, and the Flames need to go after this, even in a bounce back season, there's one statistic that remains problematic for him, and that is low laterals. So attack him with slot line plays across the middle of the ice, below the hash marks. It's almost 1 in 3. If you can convert those and get them on net or create broken plays off them, it's almost a 1 in 3 basis that they go in. And that's why when teams talk about targeting him, you know, obviously before the deadline this year or maybe this summer, I think you have to make sure you have a team that doesn't give up a lot of that type of chance, because it's sort of the one thing that still really plagues his game, and something if you're the Flames, I think you want to see them go after as they try and stay alive in this race tonight against John Gibson. Overall, it's been a really good season for him. I kind of hope he gets an opportunity in the offseason to play for somebody else next year, because I still believe there's a goalie there that behind a good team could do a lot of good things.
Last question for you, Kev, and that is on the team that you cover on a regular basis. They had a winnable game, if you will, against Seattle on Wednesday night. They get blown out in Seattle 5-0. Thatcher Demko had been playing really well, but he was hung out to dry in that game. You take a look at a lot of the probability sites, and it's around 1% or 2% for Vancouver to make the playoffs. You cover that team.
Of course.
And you're on the golf course. Good segue. Are they cooked in your eyes? Is that all she wrote?
They're done. Yeah, they're done. They're done. And I think that reality set in as that game went on last night. Interestingly enough, it was actually a home game. I covered that one. That was in Vancouver. And one of the problems for this team, and when you break down their season, you know, it's the inability early on to get a win from a goaltender other than Kevin Lankinen. I mean, Artur Shelov's played 10 games. His only two wins were against Chicago. But the home ice record. There are only 3 teams in the National Hockey League, this stat was going around last night, that have 15 or fewer wins on home ice, and the Vancouver Canucks are one of them. Just, they were booed off the ice last night, deservedly so, laid an egg. I mean, at the end of the day, the injuries throughout the season, the Patterson-Miller thing, but then also, you know, like Pettersson out now, Höglander out now. Like, there was no offense when those guys were playing. They were struggling to score without them. It's just dried right up. And, you know, yeah, Seattle had some chances last night. There was also a couple of goals that Thatcher Demko probably wants back. And as we talked about with the Flames, when they struggle to score this year, it's a really tough way to play goal. And you know you don't have a mistake you can make. And that's kind of been the situation for the Vancouver Canucks tenders for the last couple of weeks. And add it all up, and it's going to be more of what we've seen mostly for the last 10 years outside of last season for the Vancouver Canucks, and that's early trips to the golf course for me and them.
Yeah. Well, we'll let you get back to your round. Finish strong, my friend, and we will check in again next week, see where things sit in this playoff race, and talk some more goaltending with the Flames, Canucks, and around the league. Great stuff as always, Kev. Appreciate the time, hey?
Really appreciate it, guys. Make sure you tell Wes that I was golfing today, though, okay?
I will. He'll love to hear that. He won't be jealous at all.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Kev. Kevin Woodley, In Goal Magazine, NHL.com. You can find him on Twitter at Kevin is In Goal, and he joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar Guest Hotline, serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery.
Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Thursday edition of the program continues. Pat Steinberg, Aaron Vickers along with you. And yesterday, Wednesday, was a pretty exciting day for the Flames as they were able to make official the signing of 2023 third-round pick Idar Suniev. They drafted him out of the BCHL when he was with the Penticton Vs. And the last two seasons, Idar has played with the University of Massachusetts and at UMass this year as a sophomore. How about the 20 goals and 38 points in 35 games. Not bad for a sophomore. And instead of going back for his junior season, after his season came to an end in the NCAA tournament over the weekend, the Flames put the full court press on and eventually agreed to a contract. He will burn the first year of his entry-level deal and will play his first professional season next year as a member of the Calgary Flames. Will he get into games this year? We don't know. He can't play in the American League the rest of the season, but could play in the National Hockey League, could play NHL games. We'll see if that comes to pass anytime between now and the end of the regular season. But it's a pretty exciting signing for a guy who, you know, they were really excited about. I remember how pumped Craig Conroy was when they signed him to that deal. I'd rather when they drafted him with that third-round pick they got from New Jersey in the Tyler Toffoli trade. Like, they were pumped to get him. And I know Craig Conroy was through the moon that he was still there when they drafted. And, you know, he's had two really good seasons as a freshman and a sophomore in the NCAA.
Well, yeah, you mentioned the 20 goals and 38 points this season. When they drafted him from Penticton, which is a wagon of a program, and will be joining the Western Hockey League, but 90 points in 50 games, including 45 goals. So I get the excitement surrounding Suniev and getting him to Calgary, guaranteeing he will be coming to Calgary. Once you get into that junior season, you're only a senior season away from being an unrestricted free agent. So getting pen to paper and getting him into Calgary, understandable why the organization's excited.
A little earlier on this Thursday, after morning skate, Idar did not take part in morning skate because his gear's not here yet, but he will join the team for practice on Friday or Saturday, whatever the case may be. But he did speak to the media over in the Flames locker room, then a few minutes later came and sat down here in the Hot Stove Lounge, had a chance to chat with Idar Suniev for 10 minutes or so. Here's that conversation with the newest member of the Calgary Flames.
Tell us about the last, I don't know, 24, 48 hours. What's it been like as you sign your contract and make your way to Calgary? What has this last few days been like for you?
Oh, it's definitely been really excited. You know, a quick turnaround here. Played my last game for the UMass last week. But, you know, I signed the contract. I was really happy about this opportunity. Just come in and, you know, just learn from the older guys. Just soaking it all in and you know, just being part of the team, it's nothing but been great so far.
It has to be, like, in your head, has to be weird because so disappointing. Your season comes to an end at UMass and then snap of a finger and it's exciting and you're turning pro. Like, what are the emotions like knowing it's a big swing and a big whirlwind?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I wanted to win at UMass. For the older guys, but you know, you just kind of go from 0 to 100 back, you know, when you sign that contract, and you know, it's everything you dream of, and you know, it's definitely been really excited for me.
So what has take us through your travel day yesterday. It was you had to go through Minneapolis, you got in here late, you don't have your gear. Like, it wasn't an ideal day, was it?
No, it wasn't. You know, I flew from Harvard to Minneapolis and Minneapolis to Calgary and got in pretty late, I think around 10:30.
Okay.
So it wasn't, didn't get much sleep, but, you know, I'm still really excited.
What has today been like, your first day around the rink and meeting some staff and meeting some players, all that type of stuff? Take us through today.
Yeah, you know, I just came in, met the head coach, all the assistant coaches and all the staff. You know, my teammates as well, you know, they welcomed me with the open arms. So I'm really glad and just really excited to be here.
Do you have you picked up how excited Craig Conroy is to have you? I know he was really excited for you to sign.
Yeah, you know, he was he talked to me a little bit and he was really excited to bring me in and, you know, just show me around and just for me to experience all this stuff. And so I can be ready for, you know, the training camp coming up.
Idar, what made you want to decide to sign and leave college? Like, what made this such an attractive opportunity for you?
You know, I credit a lot Greg Carville and UMass, you know, for everything they've done for me. I think they've done a great job developing me throughout these 2 years, and I think I'm definitely ready to make that jump and to take my game to the next level.
What makes you think that you're ready to take that jump?
You know, I think the way I play, the way I compete, and you know, I think throughout those 2 years, I found what I want to be and when I want to play, what kind of player I want to be in the NHL. And I think, you know, my brain is ready. I took my game to the next level this season, and I think
You talked a little earlier. You really like kind of patterning your game after Austin Matthews. What about his game is so attractive in terms of the way you play?
I think obviously his shot, you know, the way he shoots and finds himself a bit an ability to score those goals, I think is something I want to learn from. And, you know, I have a good shot as well, and I like to score goals, and that's my strength in my game.
Tell us about your shot. Like, how or when did you kind of recognize that, hey, this is a really good weapon? I've got a better shot than a lot of other people do.
I've never actually thought about it. Just, you know, it just kind of came to me. And, you know, I'm always trying to improve and develop all part of my game. But, you know, I'm glad I have a good shot. And, yeah.
How much do you work on it? Is it something that you're always working on and always trying to improve too?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I stay after practice for 20, 30 minutes and just try to work on it as much as possible with my, you know, assistant coaches, my head coaches, and, you know, just trying to get as much work as done as possible.
We're chatting with Idar Suniev, who has signed his entry-level deal with the Flames. Tell us about 2 years at UMass and just what it was like being a part of that program.
You know, that culture, just, you know, they won two national championships prior when I came. And it was, just, you know, just the culture around it. You know, what Greg Carville built there, I think that's really important for him. And, you know, that was I was learned not just as a player, but also as a person. I think that was just really good two seasons for me. My teammates been unbelievable for me there, and you know, what we've done there has been special.
How do you think, or where are the areas that you've developed the most in your 2 years there?
I think just, you know, growing as a person and just maturing, and obviously I've worked on skating a lot, you know, since the draft, and I think that's the part of my game where I developed the most.
So what was it like living on campus there and being a part of that community and getting the college experience?
It was really nice, you know, my freshman year, my sophomore year, we have a really good setup there, you know, we got apartment to ourselves, and it was just, I had two great roommates who I've been living you know, last year and this year, so it was really great.
So you came over to North America, what, about 4 years ago? A little more than 4 years ago is when you decided to make that decision. How did you decide that you wanted to make the jump over to this side and come to North America to keep playing?
You know, I think I just want to learn English, and, you know, I think at some point of my career, if I want to, you know, develop, I would have to come here because, you know, hockey is here is just special, you know, especially in Canada, you know, and yeah, I thought that would be a good, you know, jump for me, and my parents were really supportive for me, and, you know, I could have done without them.
How much English did you know before coming over?
I didn't know much English, but I think, you know, when everyone speaks the same language,
yeah,
you kind of pick it up pretty quick.
Because, yeah, it's like the barely any accent. Like, you found that it came pretty quickly to you?
Yeah, I think so. I went to international schools when I was back in Russia.
Okay.
So I kind of started learning a little bit there prior to when I came to North America.
Your time in Penticton was pretty special too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really great. You know, had an unbelievable coach there, Fred Harbison. You know, everything I learned from him. You know, I also credit create my game to him.
Okay, couple more. So tell us about what you know. I mean, you've been a part of the Flames organization since you were drafted a couple years ago. What do you know about the Flames? What do you know about Calgary? I know you've been here very, very little, but like, what do you know about the organization that you're officially joining?
You know, just, you know, the fans and everything here is really special. You know, the city just loves hockey, and that's the best thing about it. I think I've been this is my second time in Calgary since the development camp, and you know, I'm just trying to learn everything, just soaking it all in.
A lot of people have talked, especially this year, about, you know, how much of a family atmosphere and how close-knit everything is. You've only been here for a little bit, but do you pick up on that too?
Yeah, you know, it's been really great so far. You know, everything here is special, and, you know, I just want to make the most my time here.
Soak it all in. That's the main message.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What is going to be important? Like, what are some of the things you want to pick up as you talked about, you want to be ready for training camp next year?
I think it's just living like a pro, and just everything you do is just, you know, you have to raise your game to the next level. I think that's why, you know, I'm here, and just learning from the older guys, you know, just like guys like Jonathan Huberdeau, you know, just the way he leads by example. And I think that's really important for the younger guys. And I think that's what I want to learn from him.
Still have some classwork from college, hey?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, don't forget about that for sure. I'm doing online school still.
So what do you still have to complete?
I'm a business marketing major, so... still have to do some business classes.
Okay. Is it starting to sink in a little bit that this is all happened, or is it still kind of surreal for you?
No, it's still kind of surreal for me. You know, I'm still adjusting it to it.
Well, congratulations, and welcome to Calgary. Have a fun next few weeks, whether you get in or you don't. Have fun. Thanks for doing this today. Thanks for sitting down with us.
Thank you, guys.
Idar Suni have sat down with us a little earlier here on Thursday. Sat down right here, kind of right beside where Vickers is, in the hot stove lounge. Oh. After signing his entry-level contract on Wednesday. And he arrived late Wednesday night, did not do a morning skate with the Flames on Thursday because he didn't have his gear, as you just heard him talk about, but... you can tell he's excited. I know the organization is super stoked to be able to get him in here. The organization's really happy that they were able to get him to sign. And again, I know that there are some, like for instance, somebody had messaged in a little earlier, why burn a year on his entry-level deal if you aren't going to play him? I'd put him in next week. Sharon Govich has not provided anything that Suniev couldn't do, period. Well, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if a guy coming from his sophomore year in college, you can make a definitive determination on that like Colin is on the text line. And I also think that, you know, if you're the Flames and you believe that Idar Suniev is an upgrade on what you've got on your roster, well, then you're going to put him in. But a guy coming off of his sophomore year in college where he had a good year, but still has some strength and size to put onto the frame and joining a team that is fighting tooth and nail to stay in this playoff race, I don't know if it's realistic that he gets in here at some point next week.
Well, and to the, well, why burn a year then? Well, that was a requirement, a stipulation from the player saying, hey, if you want to sign me, get me here now so we can burn the first year off this deal. It wasn't, we're going to burn a deal. We're burning a year off this deal. Oh, we didn't realize it. What are we doing here? What happened? It's not a mystery as to why the contract starts when it does. It's because the other party, the player party, wanted it to. That was one of the criteria. You want me to come out of college? You want me to leave early? Here's the incentive from my side.
And the Flames were happy to do it because they really wanted to, A, make sure that they could get the player
and
not risk what you were talking about the four-year unrestricted free agency. That was one of the things for sure. But I think also to get him in the fold and start working with your development staff all the time and to start working with your strength and conditioning staff all the time, that was really important too. So... That's why they decided to burn the first year of the entry level and make it so that he can't go to the American League. Again, it's the very similar, well, it's the exact same scenario that Matt Coronato was in 2 years ago. I think there were more bonuses on Coronado's deal than there are on Suniev's deal, but same situation is that instead of ATOing
which is amateur tryout, in the American League, and then having the contract kick in the following season. Instead, Suniev starts his contract now, maybe gets into NHL games, but isn't eligible to play in the American League until next year.
Yeah, it just gives him a situation where he can jumpstart what he needs to work on. You'll get a better understanding working with the Flames staff here, what he needs to do to improve, to put himself in a better position for next season, whether that's in the National Hockey League, whether that's in the American Hockey League. But that four-year threat is real. It's why when Adam Fox gets drafted by the Flames, and then, you know, well, I don't want to be a member of the Flames. I only want to be a member of the New York Rangers, and even work in that scenario for the Carolina Hurricanes. But having that threat of, well, I'll just play out my 4 years in college and then I'll just sign directly with the Rangers, you lose a lot of leverage with a player that way. And once they get to that junior season, that season wraps up and you're only another 365 days, well, a little bit more than 365,
yep.
because that deadline is in August. But the player essentially gets to dictate what he's doing. That takes it away, gets him in a Calgary Flames jersey,
yeah.
and it benefits the player because he's going to have a much better understanding of what's next.
So we may see Suniev in NHL action, and I would suggest that would be if the Flames, you know, really fall out of it or are officially eliminated or whatever the case may be. I think that is your most realistic scenario on when you might see Suniev play some NHL games. So who else might we see? There's a few other names that I'm interested in watching to see if we see them get in again. In similar situations, and I think that these would all be, again, if the team falls a little further back. But I think they'd like to see William Stromgren. I know that maybe his game has dropped a little bit in the American League the last little bit, but you know, Craig Conroy told us going all the way back to rookie camp in Penticton that they feel like Stromgren's the guy that has taken the biggest strides, and he's had himself a decent year in the American League with the Wranglers. So I wonder about Stromgren, and I wonder about Jan Kuznetsov. I mean, we've seen Soloviev, and I don't think that means we wouldn't see Soloviev, but the guy that I think that they would really like to get into some games if the situation arises would be Jan Kuznetsov, because they really like the steps that he's taken in his game this year.
Yeah, I agree that the two sort of most likely candidates after Suniev or in conjunction with Suniev are Stromgren and Kuznetsov. And you referenced Penticton. I remember going back and having a one-on-one conversation with Kate Conroy, like, okay, who do we need to keep tabs on? Who do we need to have on our radar that's participating in this Young Stars? And Conroy told me, like, Stromgren's a guy that they fully expected to get games in at the NHL level this year. So he's been the one that I've kind of been trumpeting all season long. He'd be along with Kuznetsov, because I do think it's important to see where he is in terms of his development and NHL readiness as they make decisions going into the offseason. Not that you're going to make, you know, full-on decisions based on 15 minutes of ice
right.
time if he only gets into one game. But the more you can see him at this level, the more, again, it also sets him up in the same manner that Suniev or Stromgren or whoever it happens to be. There's no level like the NHL. And until you play in the NHL and you get games and you get shifts in, you don't fully know exactly what it is, and you don't fully know exactly what to work on other than what the team's indicating to tell you. So if you have that reinforcement of you played this game or you played these games, here's what we need you to do in the summer, it's just a reinforcement tool for the
yeah.
player, and it helps the organization evaluate as well.
I do wonder a little bit about Zane Parekh and whether or not we see him if Saginaw is eliminated in time. Saginaw down 2-1 in their first round series with Erie, but how about Zane Parekh in game 3
yep.
on the road? 2 goals, including the overtime winner and an assist, so he's in on all 3 goals in a 3-2 overtime win over Erie to essentially keep Saginaw's series going and season going. So we'll see how Parekh's season continues. But again, I think they'd like to get Zane Parekh into some games too, if possible, for the exact same reasons, and maybe even more heightened, because I think they really want Zane Parekh to be on the NHL squad next year, all year. And that kind of transitions into a conversation you had with Leo Carlson of the Ducks. The Ducks are in town to take on the Flames Thursday night. And when I've talked about Zane Parekh in the past being on the NHL roster next year, I've said, you know, I don't think there's a whole lot more for him to accomplish in the Ontario
No.
League. He's not eligible due to the CHL-NHL agreement to play in the American League, so he has 2 choices next year. He can play in the OHL or he can play in the NHL. And my contention has been, like, even if it's not 100% clear that he should be on the NHL roster to start next season. I think that they'll have a bit of a sliding scale for Zane because I think they really feel like him being on the NHL roster is better for his development than him kind of sleepwalking through the Ontario League next year. And, you know, what more is there to accomplish for this guy who's an OHL champion and a Memorial Cup champion and his two-time, you know, defenseman of the year? He's done things that defensemen haven't done before. We've gone through the 30 goals and the 100-point stuff. Like, what he's done the last 2 years with Saginaw is silly. And so the example I've used is maybe he's not physically ready to play all 82 games next year as a 19-year-old. Could you do what the Ducks did with Leo Carlson in his rookie year, where he's really the only NHL player that I can remember going down the load management road because they felt like his physically he's not quite there yet to take on the full 82-game grind. So let's strategically hold him out of some games because we think it's best for his development. You talked to Leo about that in the Ducks room, didn't you?
Yeah, I asked him about his first season, his rookie season. He only played 55 games. He only played 23 of the Ducks' first 42 games of the season up until January 14th, and that was by design. It was load management. It was to get his strength up because in his draft year, he had a lengthy playoff run in the Swedish Hockey League. Then he had to keep training for Worlds with Sweden, then the NHL Combine, NHL Draft, then Ducks rookie camp. He told me he only had about 3 weeks of real training that offseason. So the Ducks decided they wanted him in Anaheim, not in Sweden. They wanted him under his watch and basically spent a lot of time with the training staff of the Ducks to get him more physically ready for the rigors and the grinds in the NHL. And he's going to play a big man's game, does play a big man's game. He is not small whatsoever, but they wanted him under their program and on their timeline. And I asked him, I'm like, were you frustrated at all by it? Like, you're a hockey player, you're clearly competitive, you want to play every game. And he told me the plan was very clearly laid out to him. Yeah, he understood the process. He knew what the Ducks wanted to accomplish. He knew what the Ducks wanted him to accomplish. So as much as he said he wanted to play every game, he understood the process. Fast forward a calendar year later, 20 goals and 40 points in 68 games this season. Got a nod from Sweden at the Four Nations. Coming out of the Four Nations, 11 goals. Only Tavares, Wyatt Johnson, Alex Ovechkin, Alex Tuck, Tage Thompson, Jason Robertson, Leon Draisaitl. Those are the only guys league-wide that have more goals than Leo Carlson since coming out of the Four Nations. And so the big message, the big takeaway I had from that conversation is if you make that plan clear, you also stick to that plan very rigorously, and the player is on board with it, it's a formula for success.
Yep. I don't mind it at all from a Zane Parekh standpoint. And maybe he shows that he doesn't need to have load management. Maybe he's able to play all 82 games next year. I don't know. But that's just an option that you have available to you if he is going to make the team next year. And I think there's a decent chance, a strong chance he makes the team next year. In fact, I think the Flames are going to go into training camp next year kind of trying to think of it, like with the mindset like, hey, Zane, we want you to make the team. We're going to give you every opportunity to make the
Please
team.
Please take this.
We're going to, like, give you more opportunities than most guys get to make a team as a 19-year-old. That's how much I think they want him to be here next year. And so I think they're going to give him every opportunity to have a successful training camp and a successful preseason, and we'll see if he takes that opportunity and runs with it. I think he will.
Well, and if that leads to the opportunity to play some games this year, sets himself up for the summer even better, because him coming into training camp this year was an eye-opener for him. He learned a lot of things there. I think actually getting in NHL games at the tail end of this season, if the Flames don't find themselves in a position to push, is that much more valuable.
As we start to wrap things up this hour, he's Aaron Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Thanks to Taylor Dingman and Shan Vergie, our outstanding producers this hour. And this hour has been the Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Did you know that barrier-free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com.